And as they led him away, they lay hold of one Simon of Cyrene, coming from the country, and they laid the cross on him to carry after Jesus. Words taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, after his condemnation by Pilate, our divine Savior was led away by the soldiers. The purple robe, which had been thrown over him in mockery, was removed, and his own garments were put on. He was then given his cross. The procession formed and set out in all haste to the hill of Calvary. First came on horseback the centurion, whose duty it was to preside at the execution and to maintain order in the crowd. Next came the herald bearing the title of the cross and proclaiming the crimes of the condemned. Then came the executioners carrying the mallets, the nails, and the ropes. These were followed by the two thieves to be crucified. And last of all, our Savior, weak and tottering, yet laden with his heavy cross. On each side of our Lord and along the entire procession marched Roman soldiers. And all around and behind, an immense multitude, shouting, jeering, cursing, some throwing stones, others spitting upon Christ as he slowly walked along. But among the thousands of people lining the narrow streets of Jerusalem that day was the Mother of God, our Blessed Lady. She was accompanied by St. John the Apostle, St. Mary Magdalene, and other holy women. And these few disciples, not even a handful, stayed in the company of the Blessed Virgin. According to a very venerable tradition, the Blessed Mother met our Lord on his walk to Calvary. St. Alphonsus says she could not embrace him. And he gives the reason: the soldiers quickly pushed our Lord forward towards Calvary. But with each step, it became apparent to the Jews that our Lord was not going to be able to go on much further. He was, so it seemed to them, not going to make it to Calvary. You know, the cross that he carried was 15 feet high and 8 feet across. And he carried it in such a way that he supported one end on his shoulder and dragged the other along the ground. And as the wounded and exhausted Savior walked along bearing the cross, he was constantly jolted so that the wounds from his scourging were repeatedly reopened, causing a continual and severe pain and an almost constant falling down. In fact, the three falls that we pray during the Stations of the Cross is not just three times he fell. The three times are to commemorate an almost indefinite number of times that he fell in this journey. But fearing that Christ would die before he reached Calvary, the Jews demanded of the Roman centurion that someone help him carry that cross. Now, please note that their demand was not in any way out of pity or charity, for they had none. But rather, it was on account of the deep-seated hatred that they had for him. They wanted him nailed to the cross. They wanted him to suffer and die in the midst of the greatest agonies and torments. And even more than that, they wanted the whole city, they wanted all of Jerusalem to see them victorious beneath the cross and him conquered upon it. Think about Palm Sunday. They stood there watching practically the whole city crying out, "Hosanna to the Son of David," as our Lord processed in. And they stood there humiliated and defeated. And then the few days that followed Palm Sunday, every time they attacked our Lord in the temple, he defeated them. He shamed them. They wanted him on that cross, defeated before everyone so that all would know they were the victors. And our Lord in the end was the loser. And so it was that the soldiers, the centurion, acquiesced to their demand. And they found, as St. Matthew writes, a man of Cyrene named Simon. Him they forced to take up the cross. Simon was standing in the midst of the crowds when the soldiers physically laid hold of him and forced him to carry the cross of Christ. He was thus compelled by the Romans to carry that cross. According to St. Augustine, St. Ambrose, St. Athanasius, and other fathers of the church, from that moment on, Simon carried the cross by himself, while Christ walked alone in front of him. That's what really happened. They did not both carry it. Simon carried it alone. Our Lord walked alone in front of him. To bear the cross of a condemned man was an insult. It was a public humiliation. It was an embarrassment. It was a disgrace. Simon initially bore the cross of Christ with reluctance, aversion, annoyance, embarrassment. But as he walked along, carrying it behind Christ, the grace of God softened his heart. As he began to take note of the noble bearing and demeanor of Christ, who bore with such meekness and patience all the insults, not most of the insults, our Lord bore all of them. He bore all of his sufferings, not most of them, all of them. And he bore all his torments with a patience and meekness that the world had never before seen. And unlike the soldiers and the Jews and the mob that stood around them, Simon freely accepted the grace offered to him and began to understand that there was something special, there was something extraordinary, something different about this beaten and bruised man. This man who slowly walked before him, falling to the ground from sheer exhaustion, but slowly rising to his feet, never complaining, but ever moving on towards Calvary. And it was then, my dear friends, that Simon bore the cross patiently. Simon then bore the cross gladly. He was happy to do this for that man. And therefore, a certain historian writes that Simon of Cyrene merited to become a Christian and a saint. For as he was a sharer in the cross of Christ, so too, this historian says, he became a partaker in the joy of Christ in heaven. You know, it was shortly after the death of Christ that Simon of Cyrene became a Christian. St. Mark says of Simon in his Gospel that he was the father of Rufus and Alexander. Rufus, the son of Simon of Cyrene, was consecrated the first bishop of the city of Thebes in Egypt by the apostles. His brother Alexander was consecrated a bishop as well, and he was martyred for the faith in Spain. As for Simon of Cyrene, it is said that he accompanied the apostle St. James the Greater to Spain. And upon the apostle's return, he returned as well to Jerusalem and was consecrated a bishop by St. Peter himself. Simon of Cyrene died at Jerusalem during the first century. Our Lord once said, "He that taketh not up his cross and followeth me is not worthy of me." And by these words, my dear friends, our divine Savior was saying that he who does not willingly and patiently bear the trials and sufferings which divine providence sends him is not worthy to belong to Christ or to have a part in the glory of Christ. St. John Chrysostom said of this, "The cross then can be understood. The cross that our Lord was speaking of," he says, "can be understood as any tribulation or any suffering permitted by God." On that first Good Friday, our divine Savior carried the cross first. But then he allowed Simon to carry it behind him. And thus Simon carried the cross by himself while he followed Christ to Calvary. Our Lord first bore the cross, as a certain author says, as a sign of his victory over Satan, but he then relinquished it to Simon, who represented all who would follow Christ till the end of time. And this our Lord did to impress upon the hearts and minds of all who would truly believe in him that they must take up their cross. They must take up their cross and they must follow him if they will be worthy of him. And thus, my dear friends, to obtain eternal salvation, it was not enough, so to speak, that Christ should carry the cross for us, but it was necessary that we also carry the cross after him. And if we will be worthy of him, the cross, that is the daily sufferings and trials and tribulations that divine providence sends to us, If we will be worthy of Him, we must carry those with humility, with patience, and with meekness. Patience, that is, suffering silently, with meekness, repressing anger, bearing insults, and humility, lowering ourselves. When we think of the passion and death of Christ, when you really think about it and you understand what He did, how low He went, He could not go lower than what He did. How can we who follow Him not lower ourselves with Him and for Him? That's what we must strive to do. Lower ourselves to that cross and then patiently and meekly bear it for Him. We have been blessed with the one true Catholic faith. And as Simon took up that cross and made it his own, we must take up the cross and make it our own too. We must, without complaint, follow our Lord to Calvary. And if we will do this again, practicing that virtue, but like Simon of Cyrene, if we have our eyes on Christ before us and not looking at the cross behind us, if we have our eyes on Christ before us, that cross, as it was for Simon, it will be for us too. It will become light and it will become sweet because we're doing it for Him. Strive then, my dear friends, to suffer patiently for love of Christ. Persevere in following Him with your cross as Simon of Cyrene did. And have the utmost confidence that you will be worthy of Him both here and in eternity. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.